Well, good morning. Today we are going to talk about the word rest and what that might mean for us as Christians. I feel like in our community and in our society, we never brag about taking a good nap, right? What we brag about is being tired. We brag about being busy. In fact, I heard it a couple weeks ago in my own voice. I was talking to a colleague, and I was like, hey, are you coming to this next thing? And he said to me, no, I'm too busy. And I snapped back at him, we're all too busy. And I thought, ooh, that isn't who I want to be as a leader, but it's also not who I want to be as a Christian. So we're going to lean into Jesus today and learn from him about how to rest well. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, the chatter of a child, the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds and in the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Rest. I have to admit, I thought it was kind of hilarious that I'm preaching a sermon about rest after a 2-week vacation. Let me explain that. The first week, well, it was our son's Dylan, it's his senior year, and so we let him help within reason where we're gonna go on our family vacation. And he picked Yosemite, and it was beautiful. Yet this was, you know, there's a difference between a trip and a vacation. This was a trip. It was gorgeous. It was amazing. But we got up early. We hit the park. We hiked a lot. I mean, and we sent the boys on their own adventurous hikes high up, and Dan and I stayed around the lake. But still, it was constant. It was moving. I would not call this vacation restful. And then my second week of vacation, I helped my husband and his brothers clean out a house that we're trying to get on the market for my mother-in-law and her family. And so I spent a week loading a dumpster. So when I wasn't here last week, I was not resting. I was cleaning out a house. None of it was very restful. The thing that did happen these past few weeks is I wasn't here. I turned my email off. I really was very good, at least when we were in California, to not check my email at work, to really take time to disconnect so that I could reconnect. We're going to talk about three different stories that Jesus told today about how to rest well. I'm not just talking about your Sunday afternoon nap, which, ever since my children were young, I have trained my family that Sunday afternoon, I go away. I go into the bedroom. I might nap. I might read a book. I might just sit there. But do not bother mom. I've trained my family. I've trained my friends. In fact, a couple weeks ago, one of my friends called me around 3 o'clock on a Sunday, and she started with, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot it was Sunday. Because they know that that is a time I need to just rest. But I'm not just talking about naps, and neither was Jesus. We're talking about purposeful, intent rest. Let's start in Mark 1, 35 through 37. And it starts like this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you." The disciples shamed Jesus for taking time. Even back then in biblical times, it was important to be busy. Jesus' ministry was busy. It was constant. He performed miracles. He healed the sick. He taught. He preached. He traveled. And guess what? He rested so that he could do all of that well. This scripture reminded me of a story once. I went and I don't know if I was preaching or doing a sermon series or something, and I was talking to people about my rhythm of connecting with God. And I was telling a story about how I used to make prayer a task. Pray from 6 to 6:15, follow this devotion book, and make sure it gets done properly. This scripture did not say Jesus went away with his favorite devotions from Amazon to rest. No, he just went away to reconnect to his Father so that he could continue to do his mission. So I was telling this group of people that every morning I have a cup of coffee with God and I do my devotion book. And as we're driving home, my oldest son, Cody, is just disgusted with me. I was like, "What's going on, dude?" He said, "I cannot believe you lied to all of those people. If you need a humble place in this world, come to my house. My family keeps me real humble." And I said, "What are you talking about, lied to all those people?" He said, "You told everybody you do a devotion every morning. I have never seen you do a devotion." I was like, "Yeah, because I get up before you get up so that I can get said devotion done." And so then I became a little bit more purposeful about praying in front of my children, not just at 5:30 in the morning when I was alone. But I can tell you, I was a different mom, wife, leader, if I did not have that time. That time to start my day by just saying, "God, I'm here. I can't wait to see what we get to do together today." Rest. Sometimes we think things are going to be fun and adventurous and restful, and then we get on a horse in Yosemite that's going up a mountain, and about 20 minutes into a 2-hour ride, you realize you hate this. It was my idea, which made it even worse because I don't like being wrong. And I really, really, really hated being on a horse in a mountain for 2 hours. You can ask my children. They enjoyed my displeasure a lot. But I was so anxious and uncomfortable and nervous, and there were cliffs, and I didn't even know this horse. Her name was Sparkles. Like, is that for real? And I am just encapsulated in fear and like anger and frustration that I really had a hard time enjoying the purpose of the ride, which was to be in the mountains in Yosemite and see and live into God's creation. There were a few moments where I was able to say a breath and prayer. I prayed a lot on this horse adventure. And I could look and I could just see the beauty that God has given us, that we were surrounded with. You see, that's what purposeful rest and prayer can do for us. It helps us let go of all of the noise and the busyness of our lives so that we can see God first. Let's look at Luke 5, 12 through 16. Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one. He said, "Go and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad, and many crowds would gather to hear him, to be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to a deserted place and pray. This scripture is important for two reasons. It reminds us what prayer is and what prayer isn't. The leper did not say, "Heal me, please." He said, "Lord, if you choose." He named the power and the sovereignty that God has. When we pray, sometimes it's a bucket list of our wants and our desires and our fears. And yes, that is important to share with God. God needs to be a rhythm of our lives. But to name and proclaim that God is our leader, that God is our Savior, that God is our everything, is always how you must start prayer. I think we make prayer really complicated. I think we make faith really complicated. I could talk about that for days, but especially prayer. When I was in children's ministry and I'd say, "Who wants to pray?" Every single hand went up, and we prayed for goldfish and dogs and cats and teachers and grandmas and grandpas and brothers and sisters and candy. You get? It was energetic. It was easy. It was a connection both within the class and, more importantly, with God. When I am with a group of adults and I say, "Hey, who wants to pray?" What immediately happens? Everybody looks down. Do not pick me, do not pick me, do not pick me, do not, no, nope, nope. And then I say, and they're like, "Well, you're the preacher. You should pray." Family gatherings. "Kim, you want to pray?" I'm always like, "Nope. You can do this too." It's simply a relationship with our Creator, our teacher. Prayer gives us the ability to be better people. In the few moments that I let go of my anxiety, fear, and anger on a horse in Yosemite, and I was able to look upon the creation, it was beautiful. It was holy. It was something that I couldn't have created myself. When we let go of our busyness and take time to rest. And in rest, I don't mean take a nap. Yes, Jesus napped. Naps are important. Do not call me this afternoon. I will be taking said nap. But this rest is different. This rest is the ability to reconnect with God and remind ourselves who we are called to be. We all have our best selves and our worst selves. My best self is when I do this every morning and I get up and I have my cup of coffee. Sometimes I go out back. Sometimes I sit in the living room. Sometimes I sit in the kitchen. And I just say, "Hi, what can we do together today?" Because my worst self likes everything to be involved around me. There's a line in our family that says, "Mom, this isn't about you." And I look at them and say, "Yeah, it is." Right? Isn't everything about me? That's my worst self. Self-centered, rigid, needs everything to go my way. My best self is when I let go of all of that and I put who first? God first. God in the center. Because we see God does this too. The next story I'm going to tell today is a story from Scripture that we've all heard, feeding of the 5,000. What I didn't realize in this Scripture is what happened right before. The story right before in Scripture is when Jesus found out about John the Baptist's death. And this wasn't a die-in-your-sleep kind of death. This was a beheading, a murder of one of his great friends. And the disciples went and buried his body and took care of it. And then the next line says this, Matthew 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. His friend just died. He needed to reconnect to God so that he could mourn. He could be angry. He could be sad. And he did that first through his faith, this purposeful rest, so that we could continue the story. But now when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot to the towns. This reminds me of when I was a young mom with young children, and I would sometimes just go to the bathroom and close the door so I could have a minute, right? People know who Jesus is now. They know about his great stories, and they follow him wherever he goes. So when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and this is what got me this week, and he had compassion for them. He had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the village and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me," and ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, gave it to the disciples, and they gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of these broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. He started his day in solitude. It was not a good day for Jesus. Did you ever connect these two stories? I would think that I would just get up and go and do and move and be, just go and do what I'm supposed to do. But no, Jesus started the day in solitude so that he could connect to God and be compassionate. We pride ourselves on being busy. In fact, I guarantee most people in this room will say next week, "Oh, I'm so behind because of the 4th of July weekend," right? "Oh, I'm so busy. I can't go to lunch today. I'm just going to eat at my desk. Oh, da 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 da. Oh, da 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 da." What would happen if we flipped those tables and we prided ourselves on purposeful rest? What would happen if we started our day like Jesus taught us to, connecting to the Lord, putting the Lord in the center of all that we do? Because then, I believe we could see the world with compassion, like Jesus saw those people when he got off a boat as he was mourning his friend's death. And he walked onto shore, and not only did he teach them and heal them, but he fed them, body, mind, and soul. This church is amazing. And anytime we hear a message, I like to think, what's going to happen next? So I want you to think, how will you rest well this week? And again, I'm not talking about a good nap. Those are important. But I'm talking about intent, rest, and renewal so that you can be the person that God has called you to be, so that you can be your best self. One thing, Jeannie Smith, our old confirmation director, she used to say when she hit Mira Vista, it's a road right outside the church here, you know the speed limit's 30? Right after you get at the toll road, you go 30. Feels like 2, right? And I would recommend always going 30 because the police officers love to hang out on Mira Vista. But it's a time where I usually turn off my radio, and I take a deep breath, and I give myself some time of purposeful connection with God so that before I pull in to the parking lot here, I'm able to say, I'm here. What can we do together today? How may I be your hands and your feet? How may we make this world better?